Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We got a jam-packed Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We'll talk Redskins-Eagles. We'll get the latest on the Nats after the Victor Robles debut. And we'll preview Virginia Tech football's matchup tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 with John Lazor. All this segment, all in the next few minutes, so keep it right here on 106.7. The Fan 1218, Skins-Eagles, prediction time. Who wins and why? We'll be taking your calls. Let's kick off the Blitz. Craig Hoffman's our Redskins beat reporter. He's in Ashburn for us day in and day out. Craig, what's going on with Jamison Crowder?
He's got a hip flexor and injured it yesterday in practice, so I guess he's always had one. Now it's just hurting him. And we don't really know yet. He seemed to be moving fine in the locker room yesterday. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, get you an update today. Hopefully he'll practice fully. There didn't seem to be a lot of concern about his prognosis long term. But obviously for a guy who relies on short area quickness, that hip flexor is something that is really important to be 100%. Otherwise, it will slow him down.
Greg, will Ryan Anderson ever play football ever again?
I believe so, Danny. Despite the sports guy's hatred of you personally, I do believe that he will be able to play at some point in the future, possibly even the near future. It's not entirely out of the realm of possibility that he plays this weekend. I don't think they're going to risk it. I think Chris Carter is a pretty good, you know, fifth linebacker. And if he's only going to be relied on to play a couple of snaps, then that might get Ryan Anderson the time to get back to 100% for next week. Maybe they hold him out. You know, it's not like they only have 46 healthy guys like they've had at some points in over the past couple of seasons. They can afford a few healthy scratches. And so while Anderson, I think long-term, especially super long-term, is the better player, I don't know that there's that much of a difference right now between Anderson and Carter, in part because Anderson hasn't practiced so much over the last couple of weeks. He is regaining strength, which is what they needed to see, so he's on the right track as of right now. It's just how far down that track is he? We don't really know yet. We might not know until Sunday, and then they'll make a decision on whether or not he plays.
Give me some situations when we should expect to see Junior Gallette on Sunday and how much you think he'll play, what kind of pitch count he'll be on.
Well, I would think any obvious passing down, you're going to see Junior Gallette. So especially third and long, that's an automatic Gallette on the field. Figure out a way to get him in an advantageous situation and get after the quarterback. Although I do think that if, you know, there's any kind of longer drive where Smith and Kerrigan could use a blow real quick, I do think that Gallette will sub in. I think he showed himself pretty well in that one preseason game he played to be able to play the run as well. So it's not just like he's a pass rush specialist. It's just that is what he's best at, and you want to obviously save him at most for those situations. I don't know that they necessarily have a number in mind pitch count-wise, whether it is a specific number of snaps or a percentage of the snaps, but I do think any obvious passing situation, it's automatic that whatever packages they have for him will be the ones that are called and he's on the field. What that translates to, we'll see. I think it's also going to depend on how, you know, Preston Smith is playing. For instance, I think we all know what Kerrigan is, you know, down in, down out in terms of consistency. But I do think that if Preston, say, is struggling, that they wouldn't hesitate to put Gallette in and use him a little bit more.
So you mentioned passing. Let's go to the offensive side here. What are we expecting in terms of these receivers on the edges? Thinking of Doxson, thinking of Pryor. I read an article every day about how the timing was worked on and great during the summertime, and now we don't have the timing. I want the timing. I like the timing. I used to have the timing, but I want some more timing. What's going on there?
All we need in life, Danny, is time, right? Terrell Pryor was not really interested in talking about the timing yesterday. It was actually interesting. It was one of those type of things where he was short with us, but I actually kind of appreciated it because I thought it was candid. Like, I thought he was being honest. I started to ask him about the timing because he's talked to us about it before where he said, you know, we're taking the extra time after practice to learn about or to work on this stuff. And I started to ask him how it was going. He's like, we'll see on Sunday. And I think he's at the point where he knows saying stuff is no use, that if he says it and then it's terrible on Sunday, then it just looks bad for him. So it's like, look, we'll see, you know, we're trying, but we'll see on Sunday. I think that, you know, using him in different ways, like sending him deep, for instance, giving him a little bit more of the route tree is going to help in that regard. They were pretty limited in how they used Pryor in the preseason. We'll see. Doc's not there. He was 100% healthy and ready to go. At least we're told he's fully participated in practice. And then we'll see with Crowder. I do wonder if that hip flexor that Crowder has changes any plans on the outside, because I think at least until yesterday, the plan was probably to be Pryor and Crowder on the outside until they go to a three-receiver set. Then you slide Jamison inside. I do wonder now that if he's banged up at all, if they scale him back a little bit and maybe move Doxson to that X receiver spot opposite of Terrell Pryor in two receiver sets. So we'll see how they wind up using him. Health is obviously a factor. So what kind of plays being called is a factor. Is a run play? Yeah, of course, this is Ryan Grant, and they're blocking to try to save those other guys for the other snaps. So I do think it'll be kind of similar to what we've seen in the past where there's a good rotation of receivers. I do think these guys are all pretty versatile, though, and can kind of all do different things.
Craig, thank you.
You got it.
Time to talk baseball. Craig Heist is one of our Nats insiders, our Nats reporter, 106.7 The Fan. Heisty, Tanner Roark's strong second half continuing.
It did. A little bit of trouble in the middle innings, but he pitched his way out of some jams until the Nats were able to hang three on the board in the sixth, and that turned out to be a big deal last night as Tanner continues to, you know, push himself toward the playoffs, I think.
I see Brian Goodwin, setback with the groin?
Yeah, setback with the groin.
What do we think?
And right now, I'm not so sure he's going to be ready by the time postseason rolls around.
Bummer.
And that's a bummer because he is such an integral part, or has been, of what they've been able to do, especially with the guys that were out during the course of this year. Playing a solid outfield, really providing some pop that we didn't really think he had a whole bunch of, but provided some power and RBIs for this team.
Heisty, as we barrel down the stretch here, still a lot of questions up in the air, but let's say Goodwin isn't available in the outfield. How do the roles shake out off the bench?
Well, I think Alejandro Diaz becomes a player then in that particular instance because he can play all three outfield positions. And he's provided a little bit at the plate, too. So, but he can drop a bunt if you need it. He's got the speed. So there's certainly somebody Dusty Baker can utilize off the bench.
Most important member of this bullpen that's to be determined. So, in other words, we know the back-end guys. We know Albers, presumably, because he's been electric. There's still some guys, to me, who are up in the air, whether it's a Sean Kelly, Sammy Solis. You know, I mean, most of the guys, we know their roles. Who's still TBD down the stretch here?
Well, for TBD, for me, And not that they're not going to be on the postseason roster, but when you mentioned two guys in particular, Kelly and Sammy Solis. For me, it's the left-hander, Sammy Solis, mm-hmm. because you may need him in a big spot against a lot of the lefties that, say, for instance, the Dodgers bring to the plate, the Cubs bring to the plate. You may need him in a big spot to get somebody out.
Craig Heist covers the Nats for 106.7 The Fan. Thank you, buddy.
Max Scherzer tonight going for win number 14,
okay.
The tie Gio, and he is 7-0 against the Phillies in 11 starts, and they've won 10 of those games that he's pitched in.
Go ahead and shove, sir.
He's a strong finish away, by the way, from winning a second straight Cy Young Award.
I think so, too.
He's got a shot. Yeah.
He's definitely the favorite right now. Thanks, pal. Let's talk a little Virginia Tech football. John Lazor is the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies. You can hear their games right here on 106.7 The Fan. John, how about that first performance? It was in doubt throughout much of the night against West Virginia, but the freshman grew up in front of our eyes.
Yeah, first of all, great to be with you guys, but you're absolutely right. You know, it was a very conservative approach and kind of a methodical game from both directions in the first half, and then you could just see an evolution process in the second. Turned out to be a whale of a football game, not necessarily the way we thought it would go down, but definitely the outcome and the close nature that we expected.
So, John, how do you avoid a letdown here? I mean, it's that first week, it's a rivalry game, it's a big, it's an NFL stadium, et cetera. Delaware comes to town. It's easy to say to just, hey, it's the next opponent next week, but how do you avoid maybe a slower, more malaise thing after such a marquee matchup in week one?
Yeah, I think the hope is that, one, your team is disciplined enough to do that day in and day out in practice. But beyond that, since they are young kids, I think it's going to be the environment. For a lot of these guys, including Josh Jackson, it'll be his first game action at Lane Stadium, and it won't probably be a sellout, but it'll nonetheless be electric and one of what we feel is college football's finest environments. So if you can't get up for game day in Blacksburg, there's probably something wrong with you. With that said, I wouldn't be stunned if this is a competitive game a little longer than people think, just due to the short legs that these guys undoubtedly have through this week. But that's the biggest thing I think that will key this team is the environment that they'll enter tomorrow.
A couple of guys who really stood out to me having watched that season opening nationally televised game, Terrell Edmonds in the secondary. He was cramping. Is there anything we need to know about his status? And then also Cam Phillips was brilliant. I know we talked about how important he'd be to this offense, but what a man amongst boys he was against West Virginia.
Yeah, first on Terrell Edmonds, he's fine. It was just the cramps. They were pretty severe cramps at the time. And funny story, he actually came up to me after the game in the locker room and said, John, you got to tell people I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I said, Terrell, well, you're on the list for the podium, so you can go tell him yourself. And he wouldn't have been on that list if there was anything more severe. But, yeah, he's been practicing all week. He's okay. And, yeah, he played very well up until that point when he had to leave the game. Cam Phillips, you're absolutely right about that, and that was the outcome, and that was the player that we were hoping to see. You know, he was dinged up and didn't really do a lot during the spring, and then through fall camp even, he wasn't with the one line quite a bit just due to a conservative, let's not get this guy hurt. So we hadn't really seen where he was in terms of his training in the offseason and what he was going to look like, but that was basically a continuation of the guy that we saw the last handful of games last year, including just absolutely tearing up Arkansas in the Belk Bowl. So he needs to be that guy without question, because there aren't too many guys, really not any guys behind him that are proven to the level that he is. So it's his show. He's the alpha dog. And for one game, he looked like it.
Voice of the Hokies, John Lazor. Always appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk soon. Have a good call this weekend.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Virginia Tech off to the 1-0 start, looking to improve to 2-0, 3:30 game. You can hear it on the Fan tomorrow. They've got Delaware coming to Blacksburg. Redskins Eagles one day later. That's on Sunday, just 2 days away. Who wins and why? Dial us up at 800-636-1067. We want your predictions on tomorrow's game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.